This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast. I'm Darren Cullum and my colleague is Rich Mellon. This is part two of a special episode about the Young Referees Development Plan. So far, we've heard from David Ellery, Ian Blanchard, Roger Vaughan, Alan Young and Andy Hogg, all of which have given some great tips and advice in the various workshops which took place. And coming up in this section, part two, we're going to hear from Birmingham County FA RDO Dan Meeson, who's also a level 2B referee and on the national list, an RDO for West Riding County FA, and national list referee Bobby Madley, who both have a wealth of experience. We'll also find out more details about the RAFA Youth Council as we talk to a few of the members to enlighten us of their roles and the aims of the council. Don't forget that you can listen online at refereesworld.co.uk or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, iPad or iPhone. Just search for Referees World. You can follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook if you want to keep up to date with what's going on or indeed interact with us as well. Talking of which, just like to say hello to Ryan Haynes, Mary Harmer and Kieran Sammons, who all attended the conference and all had a big discussion on Twitter straight after hearing part one. So thanks a lot for listening, guys. Right then, let's just have a recap from David Ellery as to the message that he was putting across when he officially opened the conference.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Yes, in simple terms, we've adapted the Young Referee Development Programme to move slightly down to an earlier stage in referees' careers because we believe, as in the golf analogy I used, that if you learn and then put into practice, that's better than practicing and then trying to learn the theory. What we really want is to adapt their attitudes as much as their skills, that they learn to be self-critical, to take responsibility for themselves and to set themselves the highest standards of professionalism.
That's David Ellery once again, explaining what he hoped those who attended would gain from the Young Referees Development Plan. Moving on then, it was Rich Mellon who was in attendance, running around, getting underneath everybody's feet, talking to everybody and finding out more about the various workshops.
My name's Dan Meeson. I'm the Referee Development and Welfare Manager at Birmingham County FA. I'm also a nationalist assistant referee and level 2B referee.
Passing on all your experiences.
Trying,
anyway. Yeah, trying to. Okay, what were you trying to deliver there in terms of the title of the session?
Myself and Bobby have really tried to keep things very basic in terms of giving the guys scenarios that can possibly challenge their authority, match control, their game plan, and we've tried to give them scenarios, one pre-match and one during the course of a game, that can really sort of test their character and strength as a referee to communicate certain decisions.
Okay, and what was the sample of testing a referee you used?
Well, we gave them a pre-match scenario. We asked the question as to when management of the game can potentially start. Unanimously, they agreed that your management of the game can start pre-match when you arrive at the ground, which led me nicely into saying in the depths of winter you can be required to do a pitch inspection. We gave them a scenario whereupon they as a referee were happy with the field of play and they wanted to play the game, and in their opinion they would be kicking off at 3 o'clock. Equally then they were surrounded by one team that was particularly happy with that decision and one team that were, shall we say, a little less happy with that decision and wanted to change the referee's mind.
Okay, what were the outcomes that you were looking for from a refereeing perspective?
We were really keen and interested to see how the referees communicated with people, their body language, the tone of which they spoke to representatives from both teams, and how they sort of sold the decision, how they'd come to that particular decision, and how they were receptive to the challenge from the away team in this particular scenario.
Just a couple of things then. How did he sell his decision, a referee? What will our listeners benefit from any advice that you can offer in that situation?
The referees in both scenarios were faced with a situation where a number of people surrounded them with, you know, a difference of opinion. What was keen to see was they were very eager to identify a singular representative from the home team, a singular representative from the away team, and they would then pass out on the message of whether the game was being played back to their players, secretaries, managers. We wanted to really get them away from a scenario of being sort of crowded, so to speak.
Okay. What was the particular qualities that you saw in any one of those colleagues that were doing the session?
One thing that I liked with Ryan was that he tried on two different occasions when he'd identified the people that he wanted to speak to was to ask their Christian names. And what we saw with Ryan was that equally with the away team, they were going to be less receptive to the fact that the game was going to go ahead. They would probably be a bit more receptive on the value of having their Christian name being added, and I quite like that. We didn't get it in both groups, but Ryan particularly sort of brought that in. So yeah.
The thing I noticed for between the two colleagues that were doing the session there, one was very, very tall in stature, 6 foot plus, which is helpful in that situation. What sort of advice might you offer for somebody, say, my size? I'm a little guy as a referee.
You've got to play to your strengths, and you can't alter nature. So don't try and be somebody that you're not. And if you haven't got posture and stance and presence, then you know, don't try and be that. Play to your strengths of communication. You may be a particularly good talker in your day job. Aside from refereeing, you may be accustomed to presenting to large audiences and how you communicate and tailor your speech. Play to those strengths. If you haven't got height and presence to be able to pass on that decision, then play to what comes natural to you.
Those qualities that we might not have in some cases, and our listeners I'm thinking of at the moment, could they develop those qualities, do you think?
In terms of height and...
No, not height, okay. But presence.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We can develop all things like that. It's so much more about just blowing the whistle, waving the flag. And you know, certainly the training that we deliver in Birmingham is more rounded in terms of how you communicate with players, how you sell your decisions, the dialogue that you can keep, the tone of voice that you use when you're talking to a secretary as opposed to a centre forward, and how, you know, bespoke it's got to be to those people to get, you know, the best out of them. So yeah, we can try and pass that on as we can.
Okay, I'm walking towards a workshop now, which is by group leader is Bobby Madley, nationalist referee, vastly experienced for such a young man. That's the best way I can describe Bobby. We'll get Bobby to introduce himself when we get a chance to. We'll just try and listen to a bit of feedback, although we've missed the session. We'll pick up on what it's about.
Go from the instance where you hit the whistle, sell the whistle to me that this is a yellow card. So if we shut our eyes, we should be able to picture a yellow card tackle from the whistle. And you're going to call Kieran in, and when you go through the procedure, how you would manage this reckless challenge. Let's go. Stop. Do we think that's a yellow card?
Yes.
Yes, I agree. Well done.
You over here, player? Well, you've denied him from going down the line, recklessly taken him out, so it's a yellow card. Yep, away you go, player.
Okay, stop there.
Well.
One thing that he did well there. One thing.
Whistle.
Good whistle. Good whistle. Love the whistle. Very good. So to me, it's a yellow. Another good thing from this group?
Isolated player.
He's isolated. Spotted who it is, and he's isolated. Not a problem. How was his manner with him?
He was firm,
but was he aggressive?
No.
No, I didn't think so. I thought his manner was good. Until the end. Now go away.
I've just come over to you, ref. I've been polite. Yeah. You've taken my number, I've scored. And now you've gone. Now go away.
Four worst words in football. Come here, go away.
Okay,
four worst words.
Why use them?
Yes, please.
Okay to you?
Yes, please. Can be strong with that. Come here, school teacher.
Yeah? Pulling a dog.
Think about it. He knows what's coming. He doesn't need you to belittle him as well. But you did well.
I want to see this group.
Okay, set it up. Stand back. Well done, by the way.
Bobby Madley, nationalist referee and referee development officer for West Riding County FA.
How old are you?
26-year-old.
How long have you been a nationalist referee?
I'm just going into my third season this season.
And when did you qualify first as a referee?
It was 10 years ago. So, well, it was January 2002, okay. So just over 10 years.
That's great. Thanks for that introduction. What was the feed behind your session there?
We're looking at not just identifying reckless challenges, but the importance of dealing with the aftermath of them in terms of your own match control, and how they can actually challenge your match control during the game.
Okay, and the qualities you were wanting to see from the referees, were they?
I wanted to see that they could recognise, first of all, what kind of elements of a tackle make it reckless, the fact that they're not looking at intent because we've taken that out, but also in terms of their strong body language and how they're going to deal with reckless offenders, to make sure that they're going to maintain control and maintain the trust of the players going into them.
Okay, what were the components for the referee involving the challenge? What were you expecting to see from him as regards dealing with it?
I think that in terms of a reckless challenge, we wanted the guys to identify it quickly, to make sure it didn't escalate into a potential mass confrontation.
You said the whistle comes in with that?
Absolutely,
effect,
yeah. It's got a strong whistle, and I said to the guys, I should be able to tell what a yellow card is from you by not even facing you. And they were strong on that. I think they've got to recognise that they may have to move in quickly to that situation, and again, that's something that they managed to do, and identify the offender, because sometimes it's dead easy to lose them when they walk
strong
away in a crowd. So
strong whistle, physical presence.
Yeah.
What were the four words that you don't want them to use?
Come here and go away.
I think
for me, it's I find that quite rude, and I think if a player said that to me, I don't think that would be overly respectful. So why should we say that to players? You know, we've got to show the same respect back to players, and I think, you know, we'll lose respect if we start talking to them as if they're small children.
Okay, so just recap those words that we don't particularly like.
Come here and go away.
Come here and go away. Yep. Players can find that rude.
I believe so, yeah.
Totally agree with you. Thanks very much for that, Bobby. Good luck.
Thank you.
This is the Referees World Podcast. It's the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Rich Mellin. And don't forget, you can contact us on Facebook and Twitter or through the website if you've got any comments or questions on not just this episode, but any of the episodes of the Referees World Podcast, which is now in its third season, and I'm delighted to say, listened to in 78 countries. That's according to the latest Google stats. So thank you very much for your continued support. Okay, before we finish, we want to let you know more about the RAFA Youth Council. So we caught up with a few of its members, but we start with RA board member Paul Field, who explains how it all started.
From a business sustainability point of view, many organisations around the world are looking how to engage with young people. They're the future customers, the future of that business, the future of that whole business culture. If you look at world-class retailers such as Asda and B&Q, Rolls-Royce Aero Engines, all developed a youth council, a youth board for business engagement to engage with their future customers. So that's where the initial vision came from, really.
That's a really interesting background because, like I say, in my little limited world, I would never have alluded to any of that as regards an idea to create this youth council for the RA. The format and the formation, how was it decided from your point of view?
From the initial concept, it was literally two or three line email to the board of the RA, to David Ellery, to Dean Mahab, Roger Vaughan and Ian Blanchard, talking about the future and sustainability of the Referees Association and engagement in young people. There are too many organisations that think that we know what young people want, and actually we don't. So from that point of view, that was the concept, that's how it was sold. Within 24 hours, we'd got the green light to go ahead with it. We developed an advert. The advert went to every county FA and every Referees Association in the country. So immediately we hit probably 500 sites of different associations.
Okay, and using the information that came back, you then decided to go forward with the idea of a youth council. And now, how many people sit on the council?
Well, if we just backtrack a little bit on that one, we had 79 people apply, of which were to the highest standard, and everyone should actually be quite proud about their submission. We then drilled down to 12 people. Our target was 12 people who all offered something in addition to refereeing. It is what they do outside of refereeing in terms of some of the social and community work they do, and also some of the bigger picture issues with the organisations they work with. They had to have real value to what they was doing outside of refereeing.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Paul. I found out this morning, upon entry into the hall, that there would be 10 members of that youth council in attendance, and I've managed to snaffle free away from the dinner hall before they go down and do a lot of physical work down on the field of play.
Hi, I'm Amy Robinson. I'm 18, from Hampshire. I got into refereeing when I was 14. My dad was a coach of a team, and he just suggested to me one day that I should go on the course. I went on the course, and to an extent I caught the refereeing bug, and I don't know, when you just start, you just get a passion for it and you can't stop, and you just thrive on football.
Okay, Amy, and what level are you currently as a referee?
I'm a level 7.
My name's Tom Neal. I'm a level 3 National List Contributory League referee from West Yorkshire. I started refereeing in September 2007, where, like Amy, I also got bit by the refereeing bug and started progressing from there.
OK, Tom, how old are you?
21.
21, and you're a level 3 referee?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to have gained successive promotions and double promotions along the way.
What do you think the secret is to that quick progress?
Hard work, passion, and a willingness to always learn. You're never you're never too good to learn something new.
I'm Omar Ahmed. I'm a level 4 referee. I'm 24 years old. I'm from Dewsbury in West Yorkshire.
Okay, Dewsbury in West Yorkshire. What's your background outside of Dewsbury, West Yorkshire? Family background?
I'm Pakistani and I'm a Muslim.
You enjoy refereeing?
I do enjoy refereeing, yeah. The way I got into refereeing is quite a funny story. I wanted to be a coach. I wanted to be a referee coach. So I went to a referee coaching course, thinking it was a coaching course. And then they obviously started talking, and they were members of the FA there, so I just assumed everything's normal. And then they started talking about refereeing, so I thought, again, maybe they just want us to tell us about referees. And then I realised about half an hour into it something, this is a referees course. And I thought, I had a decision to make there and then. Do I walk out, embarrass myself, or do I just sit here and wait? And I sat there, waited, completed the course, and from then on, the rest is history, really.
Are you in any development group or academy, anything like that?
I was in the West Riding County FA School of Excellence.
Yeah.
I went to university as well, so I spent part of my time refereeing in Liverpool as well. So I gained my promotion through Liverpool while I was away at university. So
you are well-travelled, aren't you?
I've been everywhere,
I've been everywhere, man. OK, thanks for that introduction, Omar. Welcome to all three of you. I have a question that I would ask any of you, all of you, to answer relating to the Youth Council. What's the function of the Youth Council?
I think a general overview of what we aim to do is we aim to recruit more referees, raise the profile of refereeing and make especially young people more aware of the opportunities that are available to referees.
Umar, any comments you'd like to ask?
Just another thing I think we want to do is possibly change perceptions of referees in general, as in when people think of referees they probably think of someone old, someone who's not really played football or who's given up playing football and it just gone to refereeing as a last resort. But we want to kind of promote refereeing as in it's a career path, you can go into it, and it's a young man's game as well. If you look on the Premier League now and the Football League, there are a lot of younger people on it as opposed to older people now. So we just want to change perceptions, really, make people realise that is young people can get involved in it, and it's quite a rewarding career.
It is a very rewarding career, and some of us have enjoyed those rewards. And now looking at you guys, you look as though you're ready for the challenge, because that's what it is, isn't it? They're all nodding. Amy, how do you think you're going to spread the word about the Youth Council?
Well, last week we all decided in our meeting that we had set up initially on social networking. So we set up a Twitter page and a
Facebook page. Would you like to give the Twitter page out?
It's
the details.
At RAFAYTH Council, so RAFA Youth Council. We're also on Facebook, but we didn't only want to limit ourselves to social networking. We also, we're all quite spread out, so we've got access to quite a few different counties local to us, so we're making contact with them as well to spread the word. We're talking to people, networking, because we didn't only want to make it social networking, we wanted to reach as many people as we could just to get them interested and offer the education and the training which we want to improve and develop to help them as much as we can.
Have you got any particular plans?
This morning we agreed five targets to be achieved by June 2013, and they relate to recruitment and retention of referees, enhancing the ability of referees in the senior game, so progressing into the level 4s, 3s, 2s and 1s into the national level. Referees Association attendance, we want to raise, a lot of referees aren't members of their local associations, which is a real shame because it's a great opportunity to meet colleagues and make friends for life, as we all have here with our new Youth Council.
Let me just touch on to the RA membership. How important do you consider RA membership?
Yeah, it is really important because it provides you, when you're new to refereeing, it provides you with a community. The refereeing, going to the RA meetings, you're amongst friends, you can talk to them. It's a chance to talk about how did your game go this weekend, and there's a real sense of togetherness at the RA Referees Association, as well as there's many other benefits you do get with joining the RA. But one of the main things is you sat amongst referees, you can talk about issues, and there's there to people to look after you, really. So it's I'd say just making friends is one of the main things, really, because sometimes refereeing can be quite,
it's a social thing, isn't it?
It is a social thing, yeah, that's what it is, really. And sometimes there's times when you need someone to talk to, and it's good to know that you can go to a referees association meeting and you can talk to like-minded people who've probably been there from all over. Our RA meetings, we've got a referee on FIFA, we've got a referee on the Premier League, we've got referees just beginning, so we've got a broad spectrum of referees all over.
Who's the referee on FIFA from your area?
Martin Atkinson.
Martin Atkinson, yeah, well known. Let's talk about next year's RA conference. What will be your involvement from the youth section? Can you tell me that at this early stage?
We have a conference committee that meets very shortly. We had a record attendance of 479 people. We hope to get up to 550 next year. One of the things that we will be establishing is some type of report back to one of the sponsors of this group, but also we're looking to engage the Youth Council in entertainment. And what do they actually want to do in the evenings when the conference is switching from AGM to training mode? So they are going to have quite significant input into the conference next year.
Okay, I'm going to ask a little bit of an awkward question, but I'm not afraid to ask questions. The RA has an ageing image, and I qualify myself in that. I'm a 56-year-old. I've been an RA member since 1984. Now, without the RA, I don't think I would have succeeded, but my time as an active match official is now limited. My involvement is still very strong, but I want to take a background. How are we going to change the image and how are we going to help it? We don't have enough young people like yourselves. What advice, what tips can you give to anybody out there listening that's a young referee and not an RA member?
Ultimately, join your local branch or join a branch within your area that you're comfortable attending. There is a lot of, as a youth council, we're not saying we don't want that older generation's input. They're extremely valuable to draw from their experience that young referees don't have, as well as use them as mentors, assessors, and use their experience that we have yet to develop. So draw from them. Without them, we cannot go forward as in refereeing, with respect to that. But in terms of our advice for young referees, join a branch, give it a chance, give it the opportunity. Unfortunately, you do get some old guy sat at the back with a pipe smoking, and it's very political at times. But this is what the Youth Council is about. We're trying to change that. We're trying to get a better image for the RA, and we're looking to make it a lot more positive.
Lots more. I can see the word positivity in here. What will be positivity? You want to see an increase in membership. We've talked about how we're going to try and spread the word. We're looking for creativeness and ideas from those aging referees that sit at meetings. We want a bit of input, we want a bit of feedback, but we don't want dominance. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. Another thing about the RA conference was it was the first time I attended. I was surprised actually how good it actually was, the actual conference. There's workshops by FIFA referees, there's workshops by people like Howard Webb, and you're not going to get that every week. And it's one thing, I don't think people realise how actually good the RA conference was. It was, and even the training, we had a video and it was quite funny and everyone really got on. So people have to realise, our main role is again changing perceptions really, and making realise that the RA can be fun and it can be for young people as well as old people.
Amy, any further thoughts?
I also think it's about not being afraid to ask questions. In my RA, I think it's absolutely paramount that there's so many different ages, like ethnicities, genders, because people have so many different experiences, and I've definitely learned and developed myself as a person through attending, and people, we're working to spread the word.
The download is complete.